Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Pesachim is daf Yud Aleph. We're in the 11th page of the Masechta, and we're continuing our discussion. We have a little bit to go from finishing off from yesterday's sugya. Would have liked to have gone to the Mishnah yesterday. I did not, so we'll do that first. We'll get to the Mishnah, and then with the Mishnah, we'll begin another discussion in Bedikas Chametz. We are now covering daf Yud, finishing up daf Yud. And Daf Yud is dedicated to Safek. A lot of Sfekos that were raised over the course of Daf Yud, different possibilities of what happened and our reaction to those possibilities. What would happen if I had piles of chametz and piles of matzah and some of that went into the house? And the Gemara asked different versions of basically those kinds of questions. In the situation of Safek, the Gemara talked about Safek yesterday. The Gemara talked about the principle of Kavua. We spoke yesterday possibly about Sfeika, double Safek. We talked about where 9 piles of chametz were there. I discovered 10 the next morning. We discussed 10 piles of chametz were there. There were 9 the next morning. And so there were a whole slew of sfeikos that were raised yesterday. What happens if I left the chametz in one corner of the house when I went to bed, and the next morning when I woke up I found chametz in the other corner of the house? What assumptions do I make then? So yesterday was a day dedicated totally, nearly exclusively to this topic of Safek. What happens if I'm not sure what exactly happens to the chametz? As we pointed out yesterday, a larger theme that occurred in yesterday's Gemara is that many of the times there's a requirement to do a bedika again. In other words, look, I did a bedika, but now I have a Safek. I have a legitimate doubt as to whether or not there's chametz in my house, so I got to do a bedika again. Even though, as we pointed out yesterday, the mitzvah of bedika is a mitzvah derabbanan. It's not a mitzvah daraisa. The mitzvah daraisa is not to own chametz. I could sidestep the whole issue by just simply performing bittul. All I need to do is nullify the chametz, and now I am no longer the owner of the chametz. Or, you know, bittul could possibly work another way as well. We spoke about that earlier in the Masechta as well. But whatever. In other words, I could do bittul. I can now disavow myself of that chametz. And now, there's no requirement to do bedika min haTorah. Bedika is a mitzvah derabbanan, and yet we often find that even in the world of sfeikos, we're going to be machmer, we're going to be stringent. Even though we generally say safek derabbanan lekula, even though on a din derabbanan we're usually going to be mako, especially if it's a safek, but nevertheless, by bedika's comments, we're not. Right? We pointed out yesterday, Danny made the suggestion yesterday, it's not a simple din derabbanan, it's a din derabbanan attached to an issa daraisa. So, and anyway, and look, the whole nature of bedika's comments, I mean, what are we trying to do with bedika's comments? We're trying to eliminate safek. Meaning that's the whole idea behind bedikas chametz to begin with. Meaning bedikas chametz is that I know I could do bittul, but I got to search for chametz. So in other words, the whole nature of this din is to eliminate suffix. So if there's a suffix that arises, so one could venture to guess that we're going to have to do bedika again. We have a couple more of these questions that we're going to go through. Yesterday, if we're going to make any differentiation between the Gemaras we did yesterday and the Gemaras we're about to do now until the next Mishnah, yesterday we basically platformed ourselves on Braisas and Mishnayas. Meaning, that's a Mishnah. That question's a Braisa. So what we kept doing yesterday is, with every question that came up, we found like a precedent Mishnah or a precedent Braisa where we said, what we'll do over here? That's the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Now the Gemara has got a little bit of a change in venue, in which we're no longer going to be dealing so much with Mishnayos and Braisos, but rather we're going to be dealing with statements of the Amoraim. Okay, so small shift in style. Amar Rava, we're on Yud Amud Beis. We are a third of the way down in the Amud. The first one in the line is Lifar. Zu v'hinich bezavet zu v'shachach. Amar Rava, Achbar nichnas v'kikar b'fiv v'nichnas acharav matzah pirurim. Okay, so rat's running into my house with chametz in his mouth, chasing the rat. What do? I come into the house and I discover that there are crumbs all over the floor. Okay, sarach bedika memneshi in darkush al achbar lefarer. You got to do a bedika. Why? Because you got to know a little bit of your. Not only do you have to know about rats, you have to know about the behaviors of rats. Rats, says the Gemara, they don't leave over crumbs. They, when they eat, they're very clean eaters, and so therefore they don't leave over crumbs. The fact that you have crumbs in the house, that is evidence, circumstantial, but that is evidence that chametz is from another source, another cause. You got to do bedika again. Amar Avatino Knechas Vikika Biyado, contrasting that now to a child. A child who comes in with a loaf of bread in their hands into the house. You chase the child down into the house. And you, what do you discover? And you find crumbs on the floor. So here, interestingly enough, you're fine. You're good. Why? Because if you ever watch a child eat, the child is not the neatest eater. There are crumbs all over the floor. In this particular scenario, that's good. Because now that means that when I go into my house and I see crumbs on the floor and I know the child brought chametz into the house, I can safely assume, oh, those crumbs belong to the child. You'll sweep up the crumbs. You don't have to do bedika over the entirety of your house. By Rava Achbar Nechnas V'kikar B'fiv Achbar Yosef V'kikar B'fiv Mahu. How about the following? A rat goes into your house with chametz in its mouth. The rat comes out of your house with chametz in its mouth. Me, I mean, and Hainu Haida Alva, Hainu Haida Nafak. So can I assume same chametz? Odil Machrinahu, or maybe no. Maybe the rat deposited chametz in the house. Maybe the rat took out another piece of chametz from the house. And so now, basically, you are left with chametz in your house. You're going to have to do bedika again. The Gemara says, Imtim Salamar. The Gemara doesn't give a direct answer, but Imtim Salamar. We've seen this very often throughout the Gemara, where basically the Gemara asks a question, doesn't directly answer the question, but assumes a certain side. The Rambam basically feels that anytime the Gemara does this in style, where it assumes a certain side, so the Gemara basically is telling you that's the answer to the previous question. Imtim salamar hainu haidav, hainu haidanafak. So let's assume that the chametz that the rat went into the house with is the same chametz that he came out of the house with. So lava nechnas v'kikar b'fiv, v'achbar shachor yotze v'kikar b'fiv mahu. So a white rat went into your house with chametz in his mouth. A black rat came out of your house with chametz in his mouth, mahu. So, havai dachrinahu. So, can we make a very simple argument, which is not the same chametz, meaning it's a different rat, clearly. Color's telling me it's a different rat. Not the same rat, therefore not the same chametz. Therefore, I have to do a bedik in the house. Oh, dilma, irmuye arme mine. Or maybe, no, fight. Fight between the rats. And the rat that came out of the house, although it was clearly a different rat, but won the fight and walked out of the house with that same piece of chametz. Can I assume that? V'imtim salam achbarim lo shak l'mehadadeh. And the Gemara says, let's assume that no, there's no such thing as rats fighting over food, rats taking food from one another. So therefore, in this particular scenario, I'm only left to assume that chametz now is in the house and I'm going to have to do bedikah again. So let's say a rat went into the house with chametz in its mouth, and out comes a chulda. Chulda is a larger animal, a weasel, a bobcat. All right, I saw a bunch of suggestions of what the chulda is. For our purposes, all we need to know is the chulda is a predatory animal, larger than the achbar. And so now, here, we could make an argument that maybe the chulda took the chametz from the achbar. V'kikar b'fiyo ma'o chulda v'adem achbar shakalte. So can I assume that the chulda took it from the achbar? O dilma achrinuhu. Or maybe no. Maybe this is different chametz. Imiza dema achbar shakalte. Because if he really took the chametz from the achbar, you know what would be in his mouth? Not only chametz, the achbar as well. Achbar b'fiyo ha've mishtakach. I would have found the achbar in its mouth. And if you feel that argument is correct, that not only should the chulda have had the chametz in its mouth, but the achbar as well, achbar nichnas v'kikar b'fi, v'chulda yotz v'kikar v'achbar b'fi, so now b'fi chulda, so now let's move on to the next case, which is, a rat went into the house with chametz in his mouth, out comes a chulda, with two things in its mouth, the rat and the chametz. So v'kikar v'achbar b'fi chulda mahu. Ha'chavada iuhu. So can we now argue the chametz in the mouth of the chulda is the same exact chametz that was in the mouth of the rat, which now means you don't have to do a bedika. Odoma imisa di iuniu kikar b'fi achbar mishtaka chavabai ishtakuchei. Or the Gemara says, if you really want to pursue this argument, what we should have expected, perhaps, is that the loaf of bread should be still in the mouth of the rodent. Meaning the chulda, not really that interested in the chametz, much more interested in the achbar. The chulda would have just simply clamped its mouth on the achbar, and the chametz would have still been in the mouth of the achbar. Or, again, a lot of speculation, a lot of conjuring of what happened in the battle between the chuld and the achbar. Maybe, says the Gemara, what really happened was is that the achbar had the chametz in his mouth, saw the chulda, right, much like we react, you know, open mouthed and, you know, scared out of our minds. So maybe the achbar opened up its mouth, chametz fell out, chulda grabbed the achbar, grabbed the chametz, and now the chulda has both in its mouth. Maybe that's what happened. And again, if all that's what happened, a lot of guesswork on our part, but if that's all that happened, so then we would not have to do a bedika again, because we know that the chametz went into the house. It's the same chametz that came out of the house. Teku, the Gemara says, I do not know. Questions are unresolved. I do not know. And again, it goes back to what we said already once. We said it twice yesterday. We said it once again today. Really, we're going to be machmir on all these questions of bedikas chametz, and the answer is going to be basically, yeah, really. We're going to be machmir, even though bedikas are din derabanan. But as I pointed, as we noted already a number of times, we're still going to be machmir. By Rav Akiva b'shmei karet sarach sulam laharida or ein sarach. I see the loaf of bread, it's all the way up in the rafters. Okay, I don't know how it got there, don't even ask me. I don't know. But it's up in the rafters on the roof. So, in my bedikas chametz, do I have to go get it? What's the option? What's your other option? Leave it there. What's the big deal? Meaning you're going to do bittel, so that means that min haTorah, you're not going to be the owner of the chametz. You disavowed yourself from that chametz. So just do bittel. What's the Gemara's response to this question? O ein tzarech, ha-chavad de lo avida de salka min afshei. Meaning, over the course of Pesach, you're not really going to go climb up to the rafters of your house in order to take the chametz. So Dilma, zimnin denachas lamabit zorcha va'asil lamichle. I skipped. I know I skipped. Sorry. Tzarech sulam lahorido, ain't tzarech mi amrina kule hai lo atrichu rabbanan, kevin delo nachas minafshei lo asil lamichle. So the Gemara's first approach is, you don't have to get out the ladder, you don't have to get out the bread from the rafter, because the rabbis, even though the rabbis required us to do bedikas chametz, but not to that degree. Or maybe no, maybe over the course of Pesach, the bread's going to fall off the rafter, and what's going to happen is you're going to eat the bread. The imtim salomer. Now, before I get onto the imtim salomer, this is not the first time we saw this Gemara. I mean, it's the first time the Gemara said this, but it's not the first time we saw this Gemara. We saw this Gemara on the first day of Pesachim. Do you remember? In the first day of Pesachim, we asked a very basic question. Why did the Chachamim require us to do Bedikas Chametz? And to that question we saw, it's the first discussion we had in the Masechta Machlokis between Rashi versus Tosos. Rashi says the rabbis required us to do Bedikas Chametz so that we will not violate Bayirah Bayimatzeh, so that we are not owners of Chametz over the course of Pesach. That's Rashi. Tosos quoted Rashi. Tosos says, no way. Not right. That's not the reason why the rabbis required us to do bedika. Why do the rabbis require us to do bedika? So that we shouldn't eat chametz on Pesach. What's going to end up happening is that we're going to have chametz. If we don't get rid of it, chametz is going to be sitting in our house. I'm looking at a beautiful bagel in my house on Pesach, even though I don't own it, but it's still going to be tempting. And so therefore, I have to get rid of it so I don't come to eat it. So is it an issue of Bayirah Bayimatzeh, is an issue of ownership, that's Rashi, or is it an issue of Achila, that's Tosfos. Tosfos back on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the first Tosfos in the Masechta says, how do I know I'm right? He says there's a Gemara in Daf Yud Amud Beis, the Gemara that we're doing right now. The Gemara says, if there's a loaf of bread up on the rafter of your house, do I have to get a ladder and go get it? The Gemara says, what's the issue? It may come down on its own, and I might come to eat it. So Tosfos says, if you see this Gemara right over here, it seems very clear from my Gemara. The issue is not an issue of ownership, and the issue is an issue of achila. So this Gemara already, we quoted once earlier before, it's a very strong support for Tosfos' position that bedika is an issue of iser achila, a concern of the rabbis that we may come to eat chametz on Pesach. Okay, continuing the Gemara now, v'imtim salamar. And if you will say, right? Intim salamar, second wide line on the Amud. Zimnin denachas letzorcheva asal lemechle. I did it again. I skipped. Yes, I did. Okay, I apologize. Thank you. First wide line on the Amud. Thank you. Kikar Babor, let's say now the loaf of bread is in a very deep pit. So do I need to take out the ladder in order to descend into the pit in order to get the chametz and eradicate the chametz, or no, can I just leave it there and do bittul, and that will be enough? So again, gravity, strong that force of gravity. That chametz is not coming out of the pit on its own. So unlike the rafters where gravity is going to hurt me, here gravity is going to help me. That chametz is not coming on its own. So the Gemara says, or on the other hand, look, sometimes you may have to go down to the pit. Yeah, right? Nature may call. You're going to have to do your business in the pit. And I know this is not the right time to be thinking about food, but in other words, there's that sandwich. So, and I may come to eat it. And again, certainly sounds like from the Gemara again that the issue is an issue of achila. So, to this again, the Gemara. So the Gemara says, once again, you may come to eat it. So therefore, even there, you're going to have to go get that chametz. So now the Gemara's conclusion is that you see the chametz up in the banister, you got to go get it. You see the chametz down in the pit, you got to go get it. Kikar b'fi nachash. Let's say you have your snake, your resident snake. I don't know why he's in your house. So, and not only that, where's the loaf of bread? B'fi nachash. The loaf of bread is in the mouth of the snake. Now, not for a moment is the Gemara suggesting that you should go get it. Meaning, the ways of the Torah are pleasant. Right? The Gemara points this out many times. And so there's no expectation that you're supposed to. Wrestle with the snake in order to get that loaf of bread out of the mouth of the snake. However, that's true, but maybe tzarech chaver lahotzi. Now here the word chaver does not mean friend, although it could, and it would have to be a very good friend, but you know, like in other words, like chaver, right? One of the Yisurim in the Torah regarding sorcery is that you're not allowed to be chaver. Chaver, I know there's a better word for it, but basically a manipulator of the animals. Right, if you look at Rashi and Chumash over there by Chover, so Rashi over there says is that with his knowledge of the super sciences, meta science, if you will, he's able to basically get a gathering of animals together in one location. Okay, anyway, so ain't sarich, or so do you need to hire this guy to basically? What's the word when you charm? Thank you. So do you have to hire the charmer to charm the snake so that the snake will release the loaf of bread? Oh, ain't sarich. Or no, not bedikas chametz does not require me to do that. So begufe achachu rabbanan. Maybe bedikas chametz, meaning the chachamim, require me to get up on the ladder and get down under the bed and crawl into a pit. That's all begufe. Meaning, yeah, okay, fine. Anything I need to do with my body, I'll do. But b'mamone lo uchirchu rabbanan. But the chachamim didn't require me to spend money. Meaning, work physically with my body, yes. But then to have to spend money in order to search for chametz, maybe the chachamim didn't require me to do that. Odim lo shtad, the Gemara says, or maybe there's no distinction, teku. And again, interestingly enough, the Gemara does not simply say, let's be meko, but the Gemara says, teku. I don't know. Good question. Unresolved. Now, by the way, do you remember Daftal Amud Beis, Tosfos quotes his Gemara that we did earlier. Do you remember the Gemara there said, what if I rented a home right before Pesach and the homeowner didn't do Bedikas Chametz, leaving me to do Bedikas Chametz? Can I scream Mekach Tos? Remember that Gemara? Can I say, look, right, 14th day of Nisan, I know I waited till the last minute, but you should have checked it. You, the homeowner, the night of the 14th, you should have checked it. You didn't check it? Mekachtos. So the Gemara's response back then was, it's not a mekachtos. Why not? Because now you have a mitzvah opportunity. And we love doing mitzvahs. The Lashon of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, not only do we love doing mitzvahs, even if I have to pay somebody to do bedika, it's still not a mekachtos, was the Gemara back then. So it's a little bit of a steer between the Gemaras. The Gemara back on Daf Dal Amud Beis says, I'll pay somebody to do a bedika. And over here, the Gemara says, the rabbis don't really expect me to pay somebody to do a bedika. So Tosos notes that. And Tosos says, it's not really the same. So the second to last Tosos on the Amud. Perish hacha dafka d'shema yotzienu yachlenu avahecha d'ika chametz amra la'el d'nicha leila inish la'avin mitzvah b'mamone. Tosa says it's not exactly the same. When the chametz is staring me right in the face, so there, I got to get rid of it, or I got to get somebody else to get rid of it. Meaning, one way or another, and if I have to pay, I'll pay. Here, the chametz is in the mouth of the snake. So, and the only way we're extracting that chametz is by paying somebody, paying the charmer to charm the snake. So here, the question is not whether or not I need to do bedika, either myself or pay somebody else. Of course I need to. Over here, the issue is, do I have to pay somebody to do something that I myself can't do? And quite frankly, at no point during over the course of Pesach am I going to wrestle that snake. So is bedika requiring me to go that far and to pay that kind of money in order to do bedika? That's the teku. That, the Gemara says, I'm going to leave unresolved. But to do the simple, straightforward bedika, yes, I'm going to do it. And even if I have to pay somebody, I'll pay somebody as well. Okay. Ad kan, we now start the next Mishnah of the Perek. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Botkin or Yudal, the Uva Yudal Chachas Ubishas Habir. Rabbi Yehuda says you need to do a bedika. Night, morning, and Shas Habir. Now, the simple pshat of Rabbi Yehuda is that you have to do bedika three times. That's a simple pshat of Rabbi Yehuda. As we'll see in the Gemara, that's not the accepted pshat. In other words, that's not really what Rabbi Yehuda means, but right now, I'll read it like that. I'll read the Gemara that you have to do bedika three times. Night, morning, and Shas Habir. Now, a couple things over here. First of all, Shas Habir. What does he mean by that, by Shas Habir? So the night of Yudalid, right, we all do bedika. The morning, so again, we don't do a bedika. Rav Yehuda sounds like he's requiring us to do so. And then Shas Habir, so I direct your attention. No, not yet. Wait, just wait 1 second. We'll do Rashi and Tosfos in just a moment. V'chachamim omrim, lo badak or yadalad, yivdok b'yadalad. Lo badak b'yadalad, yivdok b'soch hamoed. Lo badak b'soch hamoed, yivdok la'achar hamoed. And then comes the chachamim. The chachamim say, look, if he didn't check on the 14th, check the morning. If he didn't check on the morning of the 14th, so check b'soch hamoed. And then if he didn't check b'soch hamoed, so then check after moed. That's divrei chachamim. All right. Now, What is the Chachamim's opinion? It sounds like, again, simple pshat in the Mishnah, really simple pshat in the Mishnah. It sounds like, according to the Chachamim, of course, your first opportunity to check is on either 14th. That's what the first thing we learned in the Masechta. And if you didn't check for Chametz then, so then check on the day of the 14th. And if not then, check during the Moed, meaning Yontif. And if not then, check after Moed as well. Check after Yontif. Now, of course, that's very strange, checking after Yontif, meaning Pesach is over. You missed the boat. Why would you be checking after Yontif? Okay, so that's a reasonable question. But before I even answer that question, let's take a look at a couple of very interesting Rashis. Really interesting Rashis. The two Rashis of our Mishnah. Rashi writes, B'soch HaMoed, meaning this is now the opinion of the Chachamim, not Rav Yehuda, which we'll go on to explain in just a moment what Rav Yehuda really means. But this is the Shita of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that you check B'soch HaMoed. Rashi writes, what does that mean, B'soch HaMoed? B'shah Shishis Shuhu Moed HaBior. Moed is not Yontif, says Rashi. Moed means an appointed time. The literal translation of the word Moed means an appointed time. What's the appointed time? Rashi says, the 6 hour of the day. Now remember, we had the hours discussion. What does that mean, the 6 hours of the day? Meaning between the hours of 11 and 12. Well, we have a mitzvah to eradicate chametz from our house. That's the appointed time, because we know what happens at midday on Erev Pesach. Chametz becomes usher at midday. So Rashi writes, what am I doing now, b'shas ha-moed? I'm doing a bedika. And then Rashi says, la'achar ha-moed, what does that mean? Misheshos al-mala achetachshach. It means the afternoon of the 14th. That's what the Chachamim mean when it says B'shas HaMoed, Ola Achar HaMoed. It's really not the simple pshat of the Mishnah, but Rashi says that's the pshat. Okay. Why did Rashi do that? Why did Rashi give, really, not the simple pshat of the Mishnah? So for that, we see Tosfos. Take a look at Tosfos on the other side of the Amud, the last Tosfos on the Amud. V'im lo badak besoch amod, perish ha-kunshus, v'shashishis v'shishis v'kosha, del Rav Yehuda kari le'shas abiyur, v'la mishina l'shono. Tosfos says, I don't understand. That shas amod? Amod is talking about the 6 hour? There's another term that we use to describe the 6 hour, and that is shas abiyur. So why would Rav Yehuda be telling us, why would the Chachamim be telling us that the 6 hours calling it Shas HaMoed? That's very difficult. So V'lam Hashina L'shana Ola B'soch HaMoed Haina Mitzchila Sheva Ad Sof HaPesach Ula Achra HaMoed Yivdok Kedei Shalo Yisayir V'lo Chamish Shal Yisur B'shal Heter V'ya'achi Lenu. Tosfos says the Pshat in the Mishnah is like what we thought the Pshat in the Mishnah was. Is that B'soch HaMoed means basically when... as Yontif is beginning. Now, I mean, not literally, because Yontif begins the nighttime, but in other words, after the 6 hour, meaning once Chametz now has gone into effect, the Isser of Chametz has gone into effect, still do a Bedika. Now, that's Tosus's Pshat in the Mishnah, much closer to the simple Pshat in the Mishnah.
I think Tosus's concern is that the whole idea of Bedika is that you didn't come in contact with it, so you'll eat it.
Right.
So now all of a sudden you're going to be coming in contact with.
Oh, wait just one second. Wait 1 second. Okay. Virashi lo ratza lafarish kain, mimne shapirish bimishna, debokin shalo yavar bival ye ra'a. And Tosfos says, and I know what's bothering Rashi. Tosfos writes beautifully. What's bothering Rashi is the first Rashi in the Masechta. Was it the first or the second? Second. Second Rashi in the Masechta. Where Rashi writes, and we just went over this, this machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. Where Rashi writes, why is there a mitzvah bedika so that I don't violate the Isra Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzah, so I don't come to own Chametz on Pesach. So in other words, according to Rashi, if the whole operative reason of why I do bedika is so I don't come to own it, so in other words, the entire bedika must be done before there's an Isra of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzah. So when the Mishnah here is telling us, here are our time checks for when we do a Bedika. And again, not Rav Yehuda. Right now I'm just going to focus on the Chachamim. If you don't check on the eve of the 15th, check in the morning. If you don't check in the morning, check B'soch HaMoed. According to Rashi, this is how Tosfos understands Rashi. It's such a great understanding. According to Rashi, that can mean on Yontif. It's too late. The whole purpose of Bedika is so that I don't violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzah. So Moed over here can't mean on Yontif itself, because I already violated the Isra Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzah. It's just simply too late. So therefore, Rashi says, B'soch HaMoed means the 6 hour of the morning, the last hour of the morning. And then the Gemara continues, Lo Bazik B'soch HaMoed, Yivdok La'achar HaMoed. So again, now Rashi's struggling. Well, remember, the whole reason why we're doing Bedika is so I don't come to own it. So therefore, this period of time must be from midday until nighttime. From midday until nighttime, there's an Isser of Chametz. But only an Isser Achila. There's no Isser of ownership. That only kicks in upon nightfall. So therefore, that's the Achar HaMoed means the evening, the afternoon of the 14th. Good. That is all Tosfos and explanation of Rashi. Now we can work backwards and we can now explain Tosfos. Because we know that Tosfos fundamentally disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says that the whole reason why I do Bedika is not because of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzah, but rather because I won't come to eat it. Well, there's an Isra Achila, not only over the course of Pesach, there's an Isra Achila even after Pesach is concerned. What's that called? That's called Chametz Avar Lava Pesach. Chametz that was owned by a Jew over the course of Pesach is not allowed to be eaten by a Jew after Pesach as well. There's still an Isra Achila. So therefore, it still be shayach to do Bedika, not only before Pesach, not only on Pesach, but even after Pesach as well. So in other words, right? So really, the driving forces behind Rashi and Tosfos is really, why did the Chachamim institute Bedika to begin with? So according to Rashi, it's Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzah. According to Tosfos, it's because of an Isra Achila. And now, a Nafkamina, which comes out, is how do you understand our Mishnah? When the Mishnah says, here's the last chance you have to do Bedika, so according to Rashi, it's basically up till Pesach. Because once Pesach comes, it's too late. According to Tosfos, no. During Pesach. After Pesach. Because the whole reason why the rabbis instituted Bedika is so that I won't come to eat it. Okay. And finally, the last line of the Mishnah, we go back to the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah says, after you do the bedika on the night of the 14th, you want to leave over breakfast for tomorrow morning, you may do so. Just make sure to put it in a safe place. Okay? We talked about this line of the Mishnah. Make sure to do it and put it away in a safe place. Right? Why do we have to be so safe and secure about it? Okay, remember the Gemara gave a couple of explanations of why that should be. Okay, my time with Rav Yehuda. Now, what's behind Rav Yehuda? Now, I told you. At this point, at this juncture, we think that what Rav Yehuda wants us to do is three bedikas. One in the evening, one in the morning, and a third one right before we're about to burn the chametz. So what's the reason behind that? So Rav Chista, sorry, my time with Rav Yehuda, Rav Chista, Rabbi Rav Huna, Dami Tavai, Keneged Shlosh Hashbatos Shebetorah. Three hashbasos, meaning there are three psukim in the Torah that tell us that we must eradicate the chametz. Lo yer al chametz ve lo yer al chasor. Shivas yamim sor le imatze bevatechem. Ach be yamarishon tashbisu sor mi batechem. Good. Three psukim in Parshas Bo, all speaking to the idea that we have to get rid of chametz. Therefore, that's why we have to do bedika three times, according to Rav Yehuda. So Mesiv, Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef challenges, that's not pshat in Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda omer koshal lo badek b'shlosha prakim halalu, shuv eino bodek. If you missed any one of these three occasions, you don't need to do bedika anymore. Now, ama b'mikan ve'elechu depligi. The machlokus between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim is not the number of times you need to do bedika. Everyone agrees, it's one bedika. The machlokus between them is a machlokus of when's the last chance you have to do bedika. According to Rav Yehuda, it's the Shas Abir, and according to the Chachamim, it even extends beyond Shas Abir. Mazucha Masne Hachi. Now, Mazucha, basically, we're going to go through the same question and answer, just slightly different nusach. Girsa, Mezer Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Omer Koshlo Abodik Becha Mishlosha Parkam Halalu Shuvein Abodik Amma Bishuvein Abodik Udepligi El Rav Yehuda Nami Im Lo Bada Kamar. That's exactly what Rav Yehuda means. Im Lo Bada Kamar Vahach Beacham Iflgi Marzav Mikam Yisura In Basu Yisura Lo Gzera Demasal Amecham Minei V'Rabbanan Tzavrei Lo Gazrinan. Now the machlokis between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim is Rav Yehuda only allows you to bedika up to Shas Isser. You can't do a bedika beyond Shas Isser. Whereas opposed to the Chachamim say, no, you can do a bedika even after Shas Isser. Okay, so in other words, so even though the Havamina was that according to Rav Yehuda, you have to do bedika three times, but the Maskana is, no, that's not what it means. Rav Yehuda also only requires you to do one bedika. It's just a question of what's the deadline. According to Rav Yehuda, midday of the 14th, that's the deadline. You can't do a bedika after that. And according to the Chachamim, no, you could do bedika even after that point in time. How much more after that point in time? That's a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says up until nighttime. Tosfos says no, the entirety of Pesach and even after Pesach. Okay. Just for a moment, I want to talk about the Havamina, right? Just quickly. The Havamina is that according to Rav Yehuda, you have to do bedika three times. Why? Why do you have to do bedika three times? Again, it's a Havamina. The Gemara rejected it, but it's a Havamina. Right, the Gemara had that consideration. Why three times? Right, I think that's it. I think you're right on the money. Meaning, because remember, a lot of the discussion that we've been having over the past couple of days is that you want to change the status of your house. Meaning, your house has chametz in it all year round, and now you want to make your house chametz free. And we spoke about the idea that basically you're changing status. You're creating a new chazakah for your house. So, generally speaking, how do I create a chazakah? Three times. Machlok is Tanayim, but generally speaking, though, the position we normally adopt is three times. So maybe, again, the Havamina, I'm just explaining a Havamina, but the Havamina within Rav Yehuda that have to do three bedikas is to create a new chazaka for your house. Okay.
There's like different types of chazakas. When you say you do something three times, that's a form of behavior, but chazaka we were talking about
right.
Status.
I understand that. I'm throwing out the idea. I thought of it. And by the way, also,
you want to change the status of the
Agreed. Right. We just had that. Right. I lost the kever in the property, and I now want to know that it's kever free. So I just, in other words, right. You're right. It is correct. Also, by the way, I'm spending a couple moments on the Havamina. Yeah. So I was gonna say the psukim. The Gemara quotes three psukim in Parshas Bo. You also notice that the Gemara quotes the psukim out of order, meaning that the first pasuk gets quoted from Perek Gimel, and then pasuks number 2 and 3 are Prakim Yud Beis. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, you could fact check me on this, but I'm pretty sure even that there those psukim are quoted out of order. So Lo Yirel Chametz is pasuk, the first pasuk quoted. That's the evening. Okay, Shivas Yomim Seor LaYimatzei Bevateichem. That's the morning, right? Could be generated from the word Yom. Well, Yom usually means day, not night. And Ach BeYom HaRishon Tashbisu, right? We know Yom HaRishon is the 14th. The Gemara spent an entire daf dedicated to that topic. That Yom HaRishon is a reference to the 14th. And Ach, what does the word Ach mean? Take the day and divide it in half. So in other words, right when we get to the midpoint of the day, so then you have to destroy. So I'm not sure if this really speaks to the idea of chazaka, but I do see why the psukim here are quoted out of order. Each pasuk is reflecting a different part of the day of the 14th. All right. Okay, anyway. All right. Limaskana. The Gemara says, according to Rav Yehuda, one bedika. According to the Chachamim, one bedika. The only question is, when can you do the bedika until? Rav Yehuda says up until midday of the 14th, and the Chachamim say beyond midday. How much more beyond midday? Rashi versus Tosfos. Rashi says only up until the nightfall, and Tosfos says no, the Chachamim tell you to check over the entirety of Pesach and even after Pesach as well. Okay, what's behind Rav Yehuda? The Gemara says it. You don't need me for this. You don't need me for much, but what's behind Rav Yehuda? What's behind Rav Yehuda is if I do a bedika after Chametz is Aser, so what's going to end up happening is I'll find Chametz because that's what I'm looking to do, and then temptation will get the best of me. I'll eat it. So therefore, Rav Yehuda says, once you're beyond the point of Isser, which is midday on the 14th, don't do bedika, for fear that you're going to find chametz, and then you're going to eat it. And the Chachamim are not worried about that. And so now, for the rest of today's daf, really, literally for the rest of today's daf, we're going to try to find patterns in Rav Yehuda and patterns in the Chachamim. Meaning Rav Yehuda is overly cautious. And the Chachamim here is not cautious. And so basically now what we're going to see throughout the rest of Shas is more or less the opposite, where Rav Yehuda is less cautious and the Chachamim are more cautious. And so, you know, it's standard Gemara. We're going to note the discrepancies and try to come to some sort of resolution why here Rav Yehuda is, why elsewhere Rav Yehuda isn't, and the same with the Chachamim as well. Okay, so here we are now, we're on the very last line of Daf Yud Amud Beis, and now we're talking about the mitzvah of Omer. Karban HaOmer. Now, Karban HaOmer is the second day of Pesach. Okay, we don't speak much here in Masechet Pesachim about Omer. Omer is spoken about in Menachos at length. The second day of Pesach is the Karban HaOmer is brought. Now, that would be in Eretz Yisrael called the first day of Chol HaMoed. Okay? We don't know from that. We're living in the diaspora. But the first day of Chol HaMoed, the second day of Pesach, is the day of the Omer. Now, we know it to us without a Beis HaMikdash. We just know it as the first day of Sfiras HaOmer. But in the time when there was a Beis HaMikdash, so a Karban is demanded to be brought in that day, and that's called the Karban HaOmer. Karban HaOmer, unique Karban, interesting Karban. It comes from barley, not from wheat. It's unusual. Most Menachos come from wheat, not from barley. This is an exception. And the other exception is, or the only other exception is, Sota. The Karban Sota comes from barley, not from wheat. Okay. But anyway, the Karban HaOmer is brought. Now, what does the Karban HaOmer do, aside from fulfilling a mitzvah in the Torah? It's a matir. It allows me to eat. What does it allow me to eat? All grains that grew over the course of the past year. In other words, all grains up until the second day of Pesach is what's called Chadash. After the Karban HaOmer is brought on the second day of Pesach, all those grains now are no longer Chadash, but the opposite, Yashan. It's now considered old, right? Old over here, of course, is just relative, meaning it's now after the Karban HaOmer is brought. And now, good, so we have an Isser in the Torah called Chadash. Chadash Asr Min HaTorah. Okay. And Yashan is obviously Mutter. And that line of demarcation is when the actual Karban is brought. So far, so good, Tanan. Learned in the Mishnah in Menachos. Mishakarva Omer Yotzin Motzin Shuka Yushalayim Shem Malayim Kemach Vekali. Everyone's super excited, meaning because today, the second day of Pesach, first day of Chol HaMoed, all new grains that grew over the course of this past year are going to become permitted. Momentarily, as the Karban Omer is brought. So you know what they did in Yerushalayim? It was a beautiful minhag. And that was, is that they adorned Yerushalayim with wheat and barley and grains, so that now, as the Karban Omer is brought, so then people are now going to be able to eat all those new grains. Okay, small issue, and that is, Pesach, and that is that as we were harvesting all these grains, and as we were setting up and decorating all the markets of Yerushalayim, all that wheat was usur, meaning it was all chadash, we're playing with fire, right? In other words, that grain is usur. And so, maybe we should be worried about the fact that, look, the wonderful grain all around is fresh and new. Maybe we're going to eat it? So, it was a beautiful minog, but really, we're playing with fire. So, Motzin shuk yushalayim sheim aleim kemach v'kali. Shelo beratzon chachamim divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda omer beratzon chachamim. The minog was a minog. Did it receive rabbinic approval? Were the rabbis happy with this? Okay, you think it's a new phenomena where we have certain practices and sometimes the rabbis are just not happy. Okay, not a new phenomena, an old phenomena. So and here, oddly enough, it's a machlokas. Whether or not the rabbis were happy with this minhag or not, Rabbi Meir says shelo beratzon chachamim. It was a minhag, but frowned upon by the chachamim. The Rabbi Yehuda says no. Chachamim loved the minhag. They thought it was a beautiful minhag. Okay, now. Baratzim Chachamim Hayu Osim. Okay, now, what do you get from this? What you get from this is that according to Rav Yehuda, I know it's Asa right now. Momentarily, it will become Mutter. But in other words, even though Rav Yehuda's position is regarding the Chadash, even though it's Asa, we're not worried. No one's going to eat the Chadash. No concern. And meanwhile, the Chachamim, who let's call them Rabbi Meir, Rav Meir and Chachamim are going to be synonymous for our discussion. Rav Meir says, don't you dare. Meaning, don't take out the Chadash. Don't start decorating your stores with Chadash because you're going to come to eat it before the Karban Omer is brought. So don't do it. So now, our first stop on the tour of Shas, we see that Rav Yehuda, here in Menachos, is not cautious. He's Mekel. And meanwhile, by Chametz, he's Machmir. Now, hopefully you're already formulating distinctions between the two cases, but let's just lay out the question first. Let's set up the pitch. So that's a steer within Rav Yehuda. And the Chachamim, on the other hand, they, by Pesach, are Mekel. Rav Meir says, you want to do Bedika on Chametz itself? Sorry. On Pesach itself, that's fine. But meanwhile, when it comes to Chadash, don't you dare. Don't you dare handle Chadash before the Karban Omer is brought, because you're going to come to eat it. Okay, so we have discrepancies. So Aslam Ichaminei Amar Rava. So the Gemara is now going to give attempted answers. Answer number one, Rava. Shani, I'm sorry, I did skip a line. It's important because right now the Gemara is only going to be focusing on Rav Yehuda. V'lo kagaza Rav Yehuda Dilma Aslam Ichaminei. Rav Yehuda is not worried that we're going to eat it. And meanwhile, by Bedikas Chametz, Rav Yehuda is worried. So we have a steer within Rav Yehuda. I mean, we also have a steer in Rav Meir, but right now, we're focusing on Rabbi Yehuda. So, Rava, Amar Rava, Shani Chadash, Mitoch Shelo Hitartalo, Ela Yidei Kituf, Hu Zachor. Well, did you know? All right, the Gemara now slips in information that maybe we did not know. And that is that even the harvesting of grains before the Karban Omer is brought can only be done with a shinui, can only be done with a deviation. You can't harvest with a sickle. You have to pull the grains out with your hands. Since we're harvesting in such an unusual manner, we're going to remember, hey, this is Chadash, we're not allowed to eat it until the Karban Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. Okay, you're harvesting in an unusual manner, but then you're grinding, and then you're sifting, and if you're doing it as you normally do, so then the shinui of harvesting is long forgotten. So Michael Amemra Halakasha Tchina Beruchai Diyad Harkada Gabe Nafa. So the Gemara says, well, the grinding has to be done with a hand grinder, not a machine grinder, and the sifting is done on the reverse side of the sifter, not on the normal side of the sifter. So the whole processing is done with a shinui. We're going to remember it's chadash, and therefore asar. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah Menachos. The Mishnah Menachos says you're allowed to harvest like you normally do with a sickle from Beis Hashlachim. Remember that first Mishnah in Moed Katan, and if not, we'll get there soon enough. The first Mishnah Moed Katan says there are two types of fields. There's what's called the Beis HaShlachim, and there's what's called the Beis HaBaal. The Beis HaShlachim, those are fields which are inferior fields. They need constant attention and constant irrigation. If I remember correctly, Rashi over there in Moed Katan says the reason why is because the Beis HaShlachim are on the slant of a mountain. And so therefore, when it rains, the rain just kind of slides right down the mountain. So therefore, if I want to grow on the side of the mountain, I need to set up an irrigation system. So really, it's inferior. I can harvest before the second day of Pesach from the Beis HaShlachim, it's no problem, and I can harvest like I normally do. And Rashi goes on to explain why. Because when I bring my mincha offering for the Karban Omer, I'm not going to be using those grains. Why won't I be using those grains? It's inferior. For Menachos, you should really use the best grains. So Kotsim Beis HaShlachim V'Shabal Makim, and also in the valley as well, but you can't do Gedisha, you can't heap it in a pile. And we know, V'Okim Naka Rebbe Yehuda, that Mishnah is going like Rebbe Yehuda. Take a look at Rashi, I'm not going to go through it right now. Rashi takes us through the step by step of how we know that Mishnah is going like Rebbe Yehuda. Right now, for our purposes, let's trust the Gemara, that Mishnah is going like Rebbe Yehuda. My Rebbe from YU, Reb Braunschweigel, should have a continued refuah shlema. He always said, a great line of Reb Braunschweigel, he says, you know, in general, he says, in a Kaddish Baruch Hu you should trust, but in learning, he says, you should never trust. Much. In other words, he says, you should question everything, and you should investigate everything, and so... I'm going against the voice of a Rebbe. That's in my head. Anyway, so Michael and Amemar, so the Gemara says so, but that Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda. So in other words, that Mishnah Menachos basically says, you harvest. It's fine. And if you're going to the Beis HaShlachim, harvest like you normally harvest. And you don't have to use a shinui. So now, again, back to square one. Meaning, that by Pesach, Rav Yehuda says that once it's Man Isser, don't you dare do a Bedika. And meanwhile, by Chadash, Rav Yehuda has you harvesting and bringing the grains in and adorning the markets of Yerushalayim. It's Chadash. What are you doing? So El Amar Abaye Chadash Badamineh Chametzah Badamineh. So Abaye gives an answer. And Abaye says here, back to square one, Abaye says, let's address it from this standpoint. We are creatures of habit. We are. And the whole year round, we've been basically working with the assumption that any new grains this year, it's usar, it's chadash. We're not allowed to eat it. So therefore, when we get to the second day of Pesach, we're not gonna flip a switch. So in other words, see, because the whole year we know that new grains are usar, on the second day of Pesach, as we're handling the new grains, we realize it's usar. It's been usar all year round. So we're not gonna flip a switch. When it comes to chametz on Pesach, just the opposite. We've been eating chametz all year round. And now comes Pesach, and you want me to flip a switch and realize that it's Aser? It's not that easy. So that's the difference between Chametz versus Chadash. Amar Rav de Rav Yehuda de Rav Yehuda Kasha de Rabban de Rabban lo Kasha. Good. That's a wonderful answer. The Gemara points out, but you've only answered half the dilemma. De Rav Yehuda lo Kasha Kiddushanina. Now, as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, we already just resolved Rav Yehuda. But de Rabban Nami lo Kasha. But let's resolve the discrepancy between the Chachamim. And again, I told you, for the purpose of this discussion, let's assume the Chachamim is Rebbe Meir. Now, what did Rebbe Meir say when it comes to looking for Pesach? Keep looking. What about if it's the afternoon of the 14th? Keep looking. What if it's Pesach itself? Keep looking. That's Rebbe Meir when it comes to Bedikas Chametz. When it comes to Chadash, what does Rebbe Meir say? Don't you dare handle Chadash. I'm worried that you're going to eat it. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, Lo Kasha. Again, this one also, a very wonderful resolution. Hu atzma mechazer alav asorfo, mechal ka'achal minei. Look, let's put this all in context. when I'm looking for chametz on Pesach, I'm on a mission, on a search and destroy mission. I'm not going to then end up with a bagel on my hand and say, hey, wonderful bagel, let's eat it. Meaning, I'm right now looking to destroy. So that's chametz on Pesach, that's why Rebbe Meir is not worried that you're going to eat it. Chadash, I'm looking forward to eating it. Meaning, and I know that once the carbon is brought, so then I'm allowed to eat it. So therefore, by chadash, you're not on a search and destroy mission. In fact, you're on a looking forward to eating it mentality. That's why Rebbe Meir by Pesach is going to be mekel and allow you to search even on Pesach, whereas opposed to by chadash, Rebbe Meir really does not want us handling chadash before the carbon omer is brought. Okay, let's just finish up. I'm going to just do Rav Ashi's answer, and we're going to end up rejecting Rav Ashi's answer, and then we'll stop for today. Rav Ashi Amar Rav Yehuda Rav Yehuda Lokashi Kemach VeKalitanan. Another suggestion by Rav Ashi in terms of how to resolve Rav Yehuda. Yes, Rav Yehuda allows you to handle chadash, but toasted grains. That's it, meaning not ground flour and not prepared flour, but just toasted grains. That's the word kali. So the Gemara immediately rejects Rav Yehuda. Had Rav Ashi bedu sehi. Right, this answer of Rav Ashi was said not seriously, maybe as a joke, or the other gersa in the Gemara is not bedusa but barusa, which means it belongs outside the base medrash. It's not a. The Gemara basically says it's not a legitimate answer. The Gemara says, good, that's toasted grain. But you know, in order to get to toasted grain, first need grain, and then you toast it, and then it becomes toasted grain. So in other words, what are you going to do with the grain before you toast it? So the Gemara says, okay, and maybe you're going to argue, well, I'm not allowed to harvest it with a sickle. I can only harvest it with my hand. That'll present a constant reminder that it's chadash. The Gemara says, okay, but remember, we quoted that Mishnah Menachos, and the Gemara says that Mishnah Menachos is going like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you're allowed to harvest the Beis HaShlachim, so with a sickle. So now what are you left saying? So the Gemara says, okay, so Ravashi's answer, the Gemara says, is not an accepted answer. It's, you know, it was a suggestion, but the Gemara says, but not to be kept in the base medrash. Yeah, correct. Meaning correct. Grain. Grain is grain. Grain, chametz is only water and flour together, sitting together. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here. So again, we finished up all of our Sfeikos Gemaras, the various Sfeikos of what happens if. And then we did, and then we talked about when's the last time to do Bedikas Chametz Machlok. It's between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Again, Rav Yehuda, Kipshuta, requires three Bedikas, but we now know he only requires one Bedika. You do the Bedika up till the midday of Erev Pesach, but not beyond that point in time. Why not? Rav Yehuda does not want you doing a bedika after chametz becomes asar. Good. And what about the chachamim? They could do a bedika even after that point in time. How much more after? That's Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says only up until the night of Erev Pesach, and the chachamim, and according to Tosfos, the chachamim allow you to check during Pesach and even after. What's the nekuda machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos? Why there's a reason why we do bedika? According to Rashi, Bali Rabbi Yamatze, and according to Tosfos, so that I do not come to eat it. And then we started the discussion today. We'll finish tomorrow, God willing, the discrepancies between Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rav Yehuda by Pesach is Mekel. Sorry. Rav Yehuda by Pesach is Machmir. Rav Yehuda by Chadash is Mekel. Rav Meir the opposite. How do I resolve those discrepancies? So the Gemara gives Svaras in terms of how I resolve those discrepancies. Okay, I'm done.